My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Mappy Davis. This is the live recording of the live Atlanta Podcast that just happened, 5 days ago? Whatever Thursday was, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days ago, 4 nights ago at Joystick Game Bar. I want to thank those who came. You can see all of their names in the show notes, in the show, whatever we're calling those things now, because show notes sound so like, read it in the appendix. Show description, that's what everybody's calling them nowadays, because you can just click away. Lots of links in there. Anyhow, yes, it was smaller than I wanted. Yes, I was slightly upset about it the night of. I posted on Instagram if you saw that, but I'm well over it. Many of you messaged me like, hey man, don't be upset, blah, blah. I'm not. It was just, I vented in the moment, and now I'm good. As I said in the show, it needed to happen. I was going to probably go back and forth forever on where it should be, who should be the guest, oh, I don't have the right guest, yada, yada. I needed to get this one out of my system, and I did. Now, first of all, it's a good show. I don't want you to think it's a bad show. I just want to set the stage that the smallness of the show, which will certainly come through, which I think, I don't know what's going to sound, adorable, maybe? Cringeworthy, maybe? I don't know. I'm just being honest. Just keep it real! I, of course, I'm super thankful to all my guests and all my friends that came to the show. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I do believe this is historic. And this is going to go down when you go back and listen. Like, holy moly, that was empty. And the next time we do it, it's going to be like, Matt Davis, Atlanta Podcast, Enough dilly-dallying, let's get to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Joystick? How are y'all doing tonight? Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming out tonight. Appreciate it. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is the Atlanta Podcast live here at Joystick Game Bar for the very first time. And we are happy to have you all here tonight. This is Brian on the guitar. Let's give it up for Brian. Woo! Give it up for yourselves. And let's give it up for your host, Matt B. Davis.
Thank you guys so much for being here. Can we maybe, should we shut that gate maybe halfway? Yeah, people will figure it out. So listen, you guys consider yourselves so lucky because this is super historic. You're at the first ever Atlanta Podcast Live, and when we're doing the 20th or 100th or whatever it is, and everyone's going to say, it's like Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, right? Everyone was there, like, and you're like, no, motherfucker, there was 8 people, and I was one of them. And I know all of you, and this is awesome, and I will not forget you, and I will buy you things on your birthday, as long as Facebook reminds me. Somebody
That's
give it
a
up
promise,
for Chris.
Yes.
Give it up for Chris, by the way, my producer here
Thank
in the
you.
Booth.
How y'all doing?
Who only knows slightly more about technology than I do.
Not a whole lot more. Probably less, actually, in some aspects. I just learned how to use a printer in the office recently, so I'm proud of that.
Well, so I did his show, which you should come to. It's called Nerdlanta Live. They tape it right here. And like they didn't know their way around the equipment. And I thought, well, you guys are nerds. How do you not know your way around the equipment? And they're like, we're nerds. We're not geeks.
Yeah.
Which I did not know there was a difference. Rob, did you know there was a difference between? But there is. Like not all nerds know how to fix stuff.
Yeah, geeks are more into tech. Nerds are more into Star Wars. Magic the Gathering, all the things that don't really help society. Well, Star Wars kind of helps a little bit. I don't know. Go on. I'm sorry.
Anyhow, so he's here because I don't know how to do that. I mean, if I try to do that and this, it wouldn't. It probably wouldn't work out. So with that, I want to bring my first guest up to the show this evening. This gentleman was on episode number whatever, because I don't really number them. But we had a great chat, and he's done some cool stuff lately. Give it up for David Perdue, ladies and gentlemen. David Perdue. Nice to see you. So thanks for coming. You were one of the first ones I thought of to have on.
Thank you for having me.
Because you were on this really cool show called, I always get the name wrong, is it Myths and Monsters?
Misfits and Monsters.
Misfits and Monsters.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah. Which is on the...
True TV
network.
Yes.
And I think we might have even had this conversation where if your friend is on something, and this happens more and more in Atlanta now, and you're just praying that they don't really suck at it, right? Because if you're going to go to their play or one-man show or whatever.
I've had that feeling.
Right?
Yeah.
And then yours was great.
Oh, thank you.
So you played someone. How would you describe the character?
So the way it was described to me in the... they were like, we need a Suge Knight type character,
right?
A gangster producer,
right?
And I was like, do you guys see my face? Because I have a child's face,
right?
I strike no fear in anyone.
And you smell. By the way, I remember how good
you,
I said you smelled.
You did.
I was smells just as good that. The second time around.
Thank you.
Like I can still so.
Thank you. I think it's probably the same scent as last time.
It's really good. It's
Thank
very.
You.
It's disarming.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that feedback coming from me? By the way, should I step away from the mic?
Is this mic? I can move.
All right. So anyway, so you play this. You play. So anyway, so how did you choose to play this role? Because you're clearly not.
I'm not
a tough guy.
So what I did was, so I played a record producer named Treese. Treese. Was his main person that he produces for is this Justin Bieber type, but they wanted me to play it very like aggressive, and I was like my face does not do that well, but I was like, who's like aggressive but also has like a very like chill manner, and I was like, oh, P. Diddy, I'll be like, and I had to be very specific because there's different versions of Sean Combs. But P. Diddy specifically,
right?
That's like making the band. Remember the show Making the Band when he sent the people to get the cheesecake?
Yes.
And so
they had to walk all the way to Brooklyn.
Went all the way to Brooklyn for the cheesecake. And I was like, that dude struck fear in people, but no one was like afraid that they were going to get hurt by him.
Exactly.
It was just in how he dressed and then how he talked to people. So I was like, I'm going to be P. Diddy. Give me a toothpick. Actually, I don't think they knew I made that decision. No one checked me about the toothpick. I was just like, I just took a toothpick and no one checked me the first take. I just kept a toothpick the whole time. So I did a lot of talking with the toothpick like Diddy. And it was a lot of fun.
And because between the two of us, this is about as much tech as we can do at once, we can't play a clip, which is what I like in my, when I dreamed about this episode live, I'm like, oh, we'll play his clip and then we'll cut to it. But we can't do that.
That's fine.
So, it's safe to say though that it was pretty loose, right?
Oh man!
Because then they showed outtakes at the end,
yeah.
And they just so you your character was this just sort of ridiculous producer, but who also ended like you invented like a waffle iron.
Yeah, I had a waffle genie that I was really that it was a documentary. So it was shot like a documentary. And they were trying to find my main client. Who would fall off the face of the map. And my character was like, yeah, I'll do your interview, but it's really just for me to promote my waffle genie. And so, yeah, it was real loose. Like, I just remember, to be honest, like half of my lines were just said because I forgot the lines that were written down. But it was great work with Bobcat because he was just like, you're funny. Just say the idea, but say it how you would say it funny. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I can't remember these six lines. And you should probably fire me, but you know what I mean? But he just was like, go be funny. So it allowed me to just like, there was a bunch of takes where we just like, I was just like, wow, I was saying a bunch of shit. Like I was out here just like.
So how many, so was it just like a page, but then y'all just shot for the rest of the day? Like, okay, try it again this way.
Yeah,
okay, now
so that particular scene when I bring out the waffle, that was the first day of shooting. That was the first day of shooting. And There was I tried to hit the beats at the beginning, but then he was just like, all right, play with it. So, yeah, I mean, we went through it quicker than you would think because I felt like I remember my second or third take hearing him behind the scenes, like, laughing hard. And I was like, all right, we just did something right. And it was fun because I was working with the Plug Chapman, who's another Atlanta comedian who I knew, who played, like, my sidekick or whatever. So we were just going back and forth as these characters, and it just made everything better.
So, and you're not someone, like, you don't have, like, an acting background, right?
Oh, not at all. I'm not an actor at all. I'm not good. I mean, I guess I am because I acted, but, like, I did not, like, I didn't get into comedy to be like, and then I'll act. They just were like, well, you were funny, and I was just like, oh, you want me to do this in, like, with other people's words? That's how I thought about it.
But so I'm saying, so were you nervous, like, before you walked out, were you like, oh, man, I can't blow it, this is Bobcat, I've seen, you know, I assume you were familiar with Bobcat.
Yes, very familiar. Like, I remember him for a couple things. I knew he used to direct episodes of The Chappelle Show, so that already was like, uh-oh, like, he knows how funny it's supposed to be. And then he directed episodes of this very short-lived, but one of my favorite shows that also came on, True TV, called Friends of the People. Have you ever seen Friends of the People? It was like two seasons, but the cast was ridiculous. Like, it had the Lucas Brothers, who have their own, they had their own thing on Netflix. It had Joshua Benowitz, who was a writer on Carmichael's Show, Kevin Garnett, who's also a writer on Carmichael's Show, not to mention Jermaine Fowler.
I know who none of these people are.
Okay, but these people are like blowing. The two biggest people
were. Is it because I'm white or because I'm not into comedy? Like, why don't I know
maybe
who these people are?
Well, I didn't get to. The other two people were. Lil Rel was also one of the people. So we all know Lil Rel, right? You seen Get Out? The TSA. The TSA agent. He's also got a show now on Fox.
These guys are all shaking their heads. So.
They got their own show now. That's what I'm saying. These people have their own show, and there's no, you know what I mean? They have their own shows on network television. Point is, he directed all these things. So I wasn't nervous because I was just like, well, if I'm bad, they'll just find somebody else.
Is that really what you thought?
In my head, I was like, if I'm bad, they'll find somebody else. If I'm okay, then they'll let me go.
Well, you know, you're a nice guy, I called your episode "Don't Mess Up at the Club" because that was your good title, right?
Yeah, no,
it pat myself on the
yeah, that was very good. That was very good
because I feel like that's the deal. Yes. Is just don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
It's not about. It's not necessarily about who the funniest person.
That helps a lot. You should be good.
Well,
at
you
the
should
job.
Be able to bring the goods and. Yes. They but wanted to work with you not because they thought you had some expensive improv career, but because thought you didn't mess up the club.
I didn't mess up in the club. Also, to be very honest, they were like, look, we already spent all our money on Michael Ian Black. So
Michael Ian Black was the main bad
Michael
guy.
Ian Black played the devil.
Right.
In this episode, he played the devil that basically gave my main person his talent as a child. He sold his soul to the devil. And he played like the devil in like a Canadian tuxedo. So he just was like in a white tie with jean shirt, jean pants, white Nikes. Like it was just and very Michael Ian Black. So in my honest opinion, they were like, we gave Michael Ian Black.
So whatever's left is like.
Yeah. So it's like, let's see what they got locally. And funny story, the way it worked out was because the lady who was one of the producers of this show was one of the producers on the Kevin Hart show that I did.
I do know who Kevin Hart is.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. I knew I'd find somebody. But she was one of the producers on The Heart of the City, the show that I did. And so when they came to Atlanta, they were like, oh, we know some comedians already. And so they kind of like hit me and plug up.
Right. We're definitely on the next time we do this, we're gonna get a desk and like a swivel chair. I don't know how people do this sideways thing.
I can turn. I'll turn.
No, we're good, dude. We're fine. I'm just.
But now I feel like I'm alienating the right half.
The right half. The right half of Matt's friends.
Yeah.
Half of which are guests on this program tonight. Awesome. Tell me about, so then didn't you just do the, what did you do, Montreal? I forget.
I did do Montreal.
Because didn't they cancel, like didn't there used to be a couple of festivals and now there's only one?
So there was one, I think, in Chicago. And they
No, but the big ones are Montreal and Aspen, right?
Yes, Aspen's canceled.
Aspen doesn't happen anymore.
But also it used to be a version of Just for Laughs in Chicago.
Okay.
And they don't do that anymore. So Montreal is the big...
Right. When I did stand up, Montreal was a big deal.
Yeah.
So did you do like the new faces show?
I was not a new face.
Hello.
I was not a new face. I was a, I guess it was an old face. I don't know. I was just a face. So basically like every year they'll pick a few comedians to be like, these are the people that we want to like show the industry to. And I wasn't one of those people, but I was selected by like, again, Kevin Hart and his team had me for their LOL network tapings.
Right.
So that's how I got snuck my way into Montreal.
So we got to do a quick, thank you. John just came back with the coffee. Thank you. Can you get a hand for John, by the way? And a hand for my friend Kate, who drove farther than anyone tonight.
Thank you, Kate.
How far did you come from? What city? North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
So Joe from Buckhead, who thought he came the farthest. You just got trounced.
We don't want beef.
By Cashers NC. Okay, so sorry.
Yeah.
So, but again, to me, that seems like a very big deal. Did you feel like it was a big deal, and did you get stuff out of it? I'm going to stop doing this, by the way.
Those are air quotes for the listeners. No, it felt like a big deal because it's the best way to describe Montreal, the Just for Laughs Festival, is it is like, it is summer camp for all the greatest comedians ever. You know what I mean? And so some kind of way, the way I describe my experience there was like, if you like baseball, this is like sports. It's like the All-Star game, and I was like a relief pitcher that had like a pretty good couple weeks that they were like, oh, he might have deserved it. You know what I mean? Like, I literally was at a party, and I'm talking to another comic, and then like Dave Chappelle walks by me with John Mayer, and I was just like, why am I here? Like, why am I here?
Did that literally happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Chappelle walked by me. Kevin Hart walks, like, all these, everybody that's anybody is just hanging out at the sixth floor of the Hyatt in Montreal. And I was just like, but why am I here? You know what I mean? Like, all the people I grew up watching, Trevor Noah's there. Like, all these people are there, and then just me. And like other people who are like, you know what I mean? So it was weird.
No, and you're a nice guy, but are you the type that like is like, oh hey, I should probably introduce myself?
Nope. I ran away. Dave Chappelle walked by me and I made quick eye contact and I darted my eyes because you can't look at greatness too long, you go blind. Everybody knows that, right? You can't look at too
is
hard.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing. It's in the Bible somewhere. If you look at something great for too long, you will lose your eyesight. Amen. That's how it's somewhere
go
in the Bible.
Go check the Bible. It's in there somewhere.
It's in the Old Testament that no one reads, or the new one that no one, whatever part no one reads, that's where it's at. Yeah.
So, but did you?
That's exactly what happened to Stevie Wonder. That was good.
Was that Brian?
It was Brian. That was quick. Pow.
No, that was nice. Brian can't get a mic because this is, again, this is the level of tech that we're at.
Yeah.
Also, guitarists cannot be funnier than me. Let's establish that right now. I'll let him get away with a few.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, that was great. You're good. Okay.
Kevin Eubanks ain't got nothing on you, bro.
What the hell was I just saying? So when it was all over, did you just think, hey, I'm going to do this, it'll be fun? Or did someone shake your hand and say, let's put you on a show?
No, none of that.
I want to sign you.
I don't think that happens anymore. I think that happened in like the early 90s, right. 80s maybe.
Like that, back when that was my dream. Like, yeah. Please.
Yeah, when I tell you, I can't. No one in the industry talked to me at all. Like, I didn't get a card. I didn't get anything.
But if you're standing in the corner, maybe they think you didn't want to talk to them.
I didn't necessarily want to. I talked to a bunch of people. Can I be honest? I really was on like, nothing there was going to impress me. And that's only because, so we didn't even talk about the other show that I was on. There's a show on Oprah's network that I got to be on.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah.
So, I got to be honest. I watched a preview for that, and I wasn't so into it.
I get it. I mean, it's a love story. It's not like a comedy. But the main thing is I was in 7 episodes of that. And
do you get paid for it?
Yeah, they don't pay me in stage time or chicken wings like comedy. Actors, they treat them well.
Right, but this is like, but again, if something's like, who knows these days with streaming
true.
I just don't know how these things work.
No.
Is it residual money or just up front?
I did recently get a check that I did not know I was going to get, and I was like, oh, okay, this is nice. I don't know how any.
Those are the best checks.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's like finding
cash under the couch. Okay, cool.
I saw it, I was like, nice. I don't think they know they're still paying me. I thought they were done. Like, that's my first thought, and I was like, oh, residuals. But so to say, the reason why I brought all that up was because the reason why, like, Chappelle, even though like that's like my hero or whatever, but like early in the summer, because I was on that Oprah show, I met Oprah. And so literally, like, nothing at Montreal was gonna make me feel like nervous.
Did she give you a car?
If I'd have talked to her long enough, she might have done something for me.
When you did my show, had you met Oprah?
No, I had not met Oprah. I met Oprah like right before Montreal.
So just because it's on her network, not everybody from that network gets to meet her.
True, but it was the premiere of a new show, and we flew out there. So I got to do the red carpet and everything, like, which is also weird. You mean just the whole Oprah story? I can just give you the whole deal. We give you the whole deal.
I would love the whole deal, but I also quickly want to say that did you look her in the eye? Because you talked about greatness.
No, here's the reason why I looked. Did you melt? I did not melt because I was prepared for that one. Chappelle walked by, I didn't know what was happening. So it kind of hit me, like, ah, Chappelle, and I went away. I scurried. If there's a thing that, if I was like a deer, I scurried away a little bit. I did not do that with Oprah because I went out there specifically to meet Oprah. Like, I was determined. I remember, like, so here's the full story. I knew I was going to meet, it sounds weird, but if you know, familiar with Oprah, you know her words are like manifest. I manifested meeting Oprah 10 years ago.
But you did not.
Swear on everything I love. I remember telling my mom early on, like 10 years ago, I was in college. I watched Oprah on TV, and I said, I'm going to meet Oprah one day. Because she was talking about whatever she was saying. It was like a book that I was reading that I was very into at the time. And I was like, I bet you Oprah reads that book. And when I meet her, I'm going to ask her that, right? And so I swear to God, when I booked the show, it was on Oprah Network. I was like, this is my chance. So then when there was the moment of like going to L.A., because we weren't even necessarily supposed to go to L.A. for the premiere, but they were like last minute. They're like, if you buy your ticket, we'll let you come. And I was like, I'm going to buy this ticket. Like, this is my shot. So here's how the whole Oprah situation happened, right? I go out there. I get an Airbnb. I fly myself out there. Nothing glamorous, right? Nothing glamorous. I get an Airbnb. And then it's like, all right, it's premiering time. So me and another comic get in a lift to the red carpet. And it's not, we didn't like do like the fancy lift. We did like the, which one's cheap? We got out of like a Honda Accord to a red carpet event that parked across the street because they would not let the Accord near the like actual famous people. So we had to walk across the street from, it was like connected to like a 24-hour buffet or something. And we walked across the street and dressed nice to walk onto the pink carpet, right? So we walk on there, and then we're about to walk on the carpet, and then somebody in charge of everything goes, what are y'all doing? Get back. Because they were like, had to let more famous people walk by. So they did that. So as I'm sitting there in like the unfamous holding cell, that's how I even describe it. As I'm sitting there, out of the corner of my eye, I see her, and I go, I mean, anybody ever met Oprah? If you've never met Oprah, I guarantee this is going to happen. If you ever do meet Oprah, as soon as you see her, you say, oh, shit, it's Oprah. You say it real loud, and you say it loud enough for her to hear it. But I guarantee you that's all she's ever heard.
Her whole life.
She heard that, she just goes, and then she walked by me. And I was like, well, I guess I missed my chance to, like, meet her for real.
Now, just real quick, was she wearing, like, a big Oprah-like gown?
No. It was a nice, like, blue. I remember it was, like, a blue top, black bottom, like, dress. I don't know how to describe dresses, but it was blue and black. And she looked like Oprah. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, she was perfect. She was just perfect. So she walks by on a red carpet, and then they're like, let other people go. And then they're like, all right, you unfamous people, you can get your pictures taken, get your Getty Image pictures or whatever.
Right.
And you can walk. So she's still talking, getting interviewed by Entertainment Tonight at the time as I'm on the carpet. And so I get my little cheesy picture, which if you look at it, my face is ridiculous.
If I Google your name and Getty Images, will it come up?
Yeah, it'll come up. And my face is almost like, I'm doing the what you talking about Willis face in every picture.
I might do this right now.
You should do
it.
Show the people.
Real time.
I might have it on Instagram too. My face is just like, what you talking about? Like, and then the camera guy is like, do you want another face? And I was like, I don't think I can. I think this is all I have. So it's the only face I had. So Oprah's standing there getting interviewed at Entertainment Tonight. They're telling me to keep moving. And I see Oprah right there, so I start walking, because I have to walk past her to get to the next spot. I try to walk past her, but I'm not going to lie, I just stopped right behind her. Because I was like, I want to know what $1 billion smells like.
Sure.
I did. I was creepy. I'm not going to lie. I was a little creepy, and I lingered. And I knew I lingered because there was a while the dude who's in charge of everything goes, hey, you need to move. And there's literally like a video, like I saw the interview where I can see the dude escorting me to move away. And I was like, oh, at first I thought I was like exaggerated when I said I was lingering. But then when I saw it, I was like, oh, they had to like move me. They had to be like, you need to move. So I did smell her. Again, smells amazing. So I move along, and there's it's like Will.i.am is there. Like, it's a bunch of people who, like, I'm just like, why am I here? You know what I mean? And they're there. And so then Oprah comes in. We watch the premiere of the show. She gives a talk about the show. And then before they show the show, she leaves. So I'm like, oh, again, missed my chance to meet Oprah. We watched the show. In my mind, she got in a helicopter and flew away. Or whatever billionaires do. Like, I don't know. I don't know what $1 billion gets you. You know what I mean? So in my mind, she went to the roof. Helicopter went away. So we get done watching the premiere. Everybody's excited. They're like, rooftop party. Also, Robert Townsend is there. You know Robert Townsend?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. Robert Townsend directed one of the episodes I was in, and that's a whole nother story.
Okay, we'll tell that next time.
Yeah, I'll tell that next time.
I want to ask you about that.
Okay.
Because when I saw Hollywood Shuffle.
It's my favorite movie.
Really?
It's my favorite movie.
Okay, so when I first saw that movie, I was like, that guy's amazing.
Amazing.
Right.
And he's the nicest person ever. All right.
Okay, we'll tell that story next time.
Anyway, go to the rooftop. They're like, rooftop party. So I'm like, all right, this is about to be free drinks and a party. And, like, at least I got to see Oprah, right? So we're up there, and all of a sudden, like, you just see, like, swarms of people move to one area. And I was like, she's still here. Like, Oprah didn't get in the helicopter and leave. So all my friends who have agents and all these other people are, like, beelining to their agent to tell them, you got to get me a picture with Oprah. I'm out here a free agent. I don't know anybody. Like, And I learned that in Hollywood, too. If you don't have management, don't nobody care nothing about you. They're like, why are you here? Like, you know, unless you have somebody being like, this is my client. They don't care. So, like, I was like, I have to do this. Like, I got mistreated on that red carpet because no one made them take pictures of me. Like, I saw it. They were just like, move along. Get moving. So I knew at that time, I was like, if I'm going to get this picture with Oprah's conversation, I got to make it happen. So I told my friends, I was like, yo, you have a better camera than me. Stay with me. I'm about to make my move. So I, like, moved towards Oprah. And I never forget, she had, like, security was all around, right? And he saw that I was about to get a picture. And I never get the security guard put his hand on my shoulder and was just like, have your camera ready, right? Now, let me be clear. That's not a very aggressive thing to say to anyone, right? That's a very, like, okay, obvious thing to say. But then when you realize it's Oprah's bodyguard, you're like, oh, no, he'll murder me. Like, he's had to have had murders, like, in order to get that job. You can't just be Oprah's bodyguard and be like, I was a Boy Scout. No, you got to, like, lift up your shirt and have those Killmonger dots and just show her, like, I will do it again for you, Oprah, right? So he put his hand on my shoulder, like, have your camera ready. I was like, cool. Then Oprah sees me. First of all, she saw me the first time, and she goes, I know you. And I literally go, get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
You don't know. Like, get. I said that to my bro, because I'm going to cuss at Oprah. But, like, my knees buckled, and I was like, get the fuck. Like, I said that, and then she went and took a picture of somebody else. And it was my turn, and then this is when I had my spiel. This is when I was ready. I said, Miss Winfrey, I'll never forget, this is what I said, exactly what I said. I said, Miss Winfrey, I'm be honest with you, I manifested this moment over 10 years ago. Her eyes lit up, right? And I was like, well, I got her now, right?
And I speaking her language.
Yeah, I was speaking her language. But I did. I said, I manifested this moment over 10 years ago. I said, I was watching you on TV, and I forgot who you were talking to, but I knew without a shadow of a doubt you would read Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman, for anybody, he's a dude who was Martin Luther King's mentor. So you look him up. A lot of his work is out there. He's like a mystic theologian, whatever, whatever. But her stuff, those years ago, they were so on point. I was like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you read Howard Thurman. And her eyes lit up. She goes, of course I do. And I was like, I knew it, right? And then
you're two for two, man.
Right? And then I said, can I guess which one is your favorite book? Right? I was, yeah, I said, can I guess?
You're going all in.
Oh, I don't know who I was at that point. I didn't know. I was like, you know what? I'm playing with house money. I don't care no more. So I said, can I guess which one's your favorite book? And then she goes, like, she's starting to think about it. And then, but her first, she was like, it's not a pop quiz. What are you, like, she kind of gave me that look like, what are you doing? But I was like, I'm in. And she was like, I said, can I guess for you if you don't know? She said, sure. And I said, is it The Search for Common Ground? Her eyes lit up Wow. even more. She was like, that is my favorite book of his. And then she started explaining stuff that I can't remember because I was about to pass out. But she starts explaining it, da-da-da-da-da. And then she just goes, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she takes the picture. And then here's the thing. I forgot to introduce myself. Right? I forgot to introduce myself. So we take the picture, and then she starts walking away. I'll go back and say, oh, Miss Winfrey, I forgot to introduce myself. And this is when I lost my mind. She just goes, I know who you are, David Perdue.
No, she did not. No,
like,
she did not.
She did. Because she said, I know who you are, David Perdue. And then she said, you're nothing like that senator. And I was holy shit.
Because guess what happens when I Google David Perdue? Guess what happens when I Google David Perdue?
Yeah, it's not me. It's definitely not me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she says, you're nothing like that senator. And then this is where it gets...
This is unbelievable.
This is where it gets better. So then we take a tequila shot.
You what?
Yes. What? Yes.
Wait.
You did not do a tequila shot.
I think we missed part of the story here.
Technically, it was me and everybody on the roof. Technically.
But...
Oprah does like tequila, right? Because every one of her premieres or her TV shows, she'll, like, they do tequila shots. And I never forget, I was standing next to her, and it was like one of the bartenders had the tequila shots to hand out, and she tried to hand Oprah the tequila, like, a shot. And Oprah was, like, in the very classiest but, like, bougiest way, was like, no, thank you. And I looked at the girls like, you can't just give Oprah anybody's tequila. Like, she can't get general admission tequila. She got to get it from the tequila tree or whatever tequila's. I don't know where it comes from. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just give her. So I was like, I'll take two. I took two.
What is her favorite tequila,
I don't know what it was, but we all got it. That was the best tequila I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
If there's Top Chef tequila, I guarantee you I sipped it. It was the most amazing thing in the world. Now, here's the kicker. After that moment of her knowing who I was, That is when I became a complete ass.
Oh no!
I literally was on that rooftop, and there's all these people, and I was just pointing at people. You can't tell me shit. You can't tell me shit. You can't tell me shit. And people were looking like, "What is wrong with that dude?" And I was like, "Oprah knows who I am. We had a conversation. Nobody can tell me shit." I immediately started texting every ex I had the picture of me and Oprah at like it's like midnight or 1 a.m. there, so it's like 4 in the morning here. Because I was in L.A., everybody got that text at exactly like, I mean, a mass text. And I was like, gotcha, bitch. Like, I was so, no one could tell me anything. I just met Oprah. I literally had a moment. I was like, well, what else do I want in life? There's nothing else. Like, Obama gets excited to meet Oprah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's nothing else I want. I was so ready for that moment. So, yeah, nothing is going to, like, I can't get better. I can win an Emmy. It won't feel as good as meeting Oprah. You know what I mean?
Like, dude, I'm totally agree with you.
It can't.
If I knew that story was coming, I would have put you on last tonight.
I thought you knew I met Oprah.
You just did a headliner fucking set,
I'm sorry.
Dude.
Look, no, when I see the microphone, I think about killing.
No, dude, you're a killer. tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
Oh, find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Do or Die, DUEORDIE.
Do you have any big other things coming up?
Red Clay Comedy Festival is actually next week, so it'll be the 28th through the 30th in East Atlanta Village. And I'm on some shows with Ron Funches. We're also doing my own podcast. I have a podcast called 4th and 10. We're doing a live show at 529 next Saturday. But yeah, other than that, I'm just, I'm going to be around town doing shows.
Well, thanks for being the first guest of my first ever live show, dude.
Thank
I appreciate
you, man.
It.
No, I appreciate it, dude.
David Perdue, ladies and gentlemen. That was awesome. My guitarist is clapping instead of playing outro music. Play the outro music. Come on. We're ready to do our first giveaway for Lake House Coffee. Big sponsor of the show, if you're familiar with our program. I know you were just a guest, but can you hand me that big box of coffee, David?
Yes, what do we have? This was sent to you directly. It is, Amazon Prime?
This is not Amazon Prime. This is Lake House Coffee Prime.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I don't know how much is in here. If there's enough for everybody, we'll just pass the whole thing around. But
this
we're
is
see
like a
here.
YouTube box opening video. This is really special here. What do we got inside
unboxing.
There?
Unboxing. Come on, man.
Unboxing. Box opening, whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, wow. We got a lot of good stuff in here. All right. We're going to do a giveaway. All right. And, I think everybody's eligible. Even you guys can be eligible, but maybe not the first round because there's so much stuff we have. So you have to raise your hand, and I will call on you, all right, to win a thing of coffee and a shirt. Sure, why not? Raise your hand, and I will point to you. Who is the first ever episode of the Atlanta Podcast? Who knows? The first ever episode of Atlanta Podcast. Jason almost wants to raise his hand. He's getting really close. Rob. Kevin Gillespie is correct. Give a hand to Jason, everybody.
All right.
He's won some Lake House coffee and a shirt. Do you wear an M? Can you wear an M? What size are you? No, you're not. You're skinny. You're a skinny man. All right. And L is yours. There we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Great music. All right, I think my next guest that I'm coming to the stage is also a previous guest in the show, and we've become. Can I say we're friends? Dare I say friends? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Okay, we become real text friends. His real name is Ray, but you may know him as Squishy Puss, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
Squishy Puss himself.
You should
sit, dude. You should sit. We've already used a ton of battery, which I did not think was gonna happen. So let me tell you. So did I reach out to you the first time, by the way?
Yep.
So I reached out to him because I saw this guy tagged on something, and he had a podcast, and you seemed to have a lot going on. And then since then, I often watch you, and you make me feel like I'm not doing enough. Like
yeah, you're very lazy.
I'm
I have a lot of critiques on this event, actually. We'll talk about it afterwards. You phoned it in. But we'll work on it together and we'll get better. And I'll teach you how to do cool shit.
Okay.
Come on. Step it up.
How am I doing so far in this end?
But I love this a lot. Because this is the moment. You're talking about it. You're like this. Like, I've done a handful of, like, events where I'm like, I'm just going to throw it out there and see how it goes.
Right.
And then go, okay, I have all the data. I know what I like,
right.
What I didn't like, what I want to do more of and less of. And then you just, every month, you just grow it from that thing.
Right.
This is a very, very special. Some people can go, okay, like, you know, maybe Matt's trying to, like, fluff us up a little bit with this being a special moment. No, this is a special moment. I love these kind of things where this is, like, the beginning of this crazy new adventure, this thing that you're going to do that's going to, like, snowball into this crazy thing a year later where you're going to go, fuck everyone who didn't show up for the first one because, you know what I mean? Because
that's, no, totally,
it's
dude.
Gonna,
So here's the thing. So here's the real talk since we're going to go there.
Sure.
And you're going to hurt my feelings in front of people. I had this idea when I started the show that, of course, there's going to be live events. Of course there is. Like, that would be part of what Atlanta Podcast is, right?
Sure.
And then I got it in my head, like, okay, I should try to get a really big guest. Like, I should try to get...
Oprah.
I should try to get Oprah.
I know somebody who knows her.
me too! I should get some sort of name, right? Like Payne Lindsay or some name that, like, people in Atlanta know, and I should do it at City Winery, blah, 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 right?
Sure.
And then coming to his show... because we started talking online, I came to their show. They did a show much like this in this little room with slightly more people than this, but it was great. The energy was great. It was fun. It was funny. I enjoyed it. And I thought, okay, what the fuck am I waiting on? I just need to do one. And if it's five people, it's five people. But I need to just, like, get it going.
Yeah.
So that's I don't think I phoned it in, but I think I didn't want to. I wanted to just let myself start small. So that's why we're here.
No, but that's the right thing to do. Is like,
I know, but I think then, a but lot then you people, hurt my feelings. You said no, I phoned it in.
Well,
I have one feeling, well, and you hurt it.
We can talk about it later. But okay. This is what I do love. I like the fact that a lot of people, because we had the conversation, you're like, I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm just going to do the thing,
right,
and see what happens. And if nothing else, we have a podcast, and that was your expectation was very low,
right?
And that's what I think a lot of people don't do. Is set their expectation low so they can experiment and learn and then grow from that experience versus all of my friends are going to come. It's going to be the biggest, best thing. They build it up in their mind.
Right.
And then their expectation, like, is so high that when reality hits, it doesn't meet that expectation. And then they get bummed out and they never do it again because they feel like no one cares. So I feel like, yeah, it's beautiful. The way you did it.
Okay.
It's the perfect way to do it. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's great.
Well, good.
All right. Am I done? Who's next?
So what I was saying before you called me lazy was that, I feel like I'm in a time where I'm trying to make a lot of content. I follow other people who make a lot of content. And everybody wants to be... the next, whatever the next thing is, and you're someone that walks the walk. You're someone that is out there, like, you know, I even hate to use the term hustling because it gets so overused these days, but you're working. You're up every day and you're either making art or talking to people or doing a podcast, and it's impressive. Where do you get the energy, young man?
People, let me before I answer your question, I'm just going to answer this one. People use the term hustling incorrectly.
I agree.
They use the term hustling like they're just doing things. Hustling isn't the thing you do; it's the speed at which you do it. It's when you're walking through, like, the mall, and you're a kid, and your mom is, like, walking, and you're, like, trailing behind because you're, like, looking at the shit you want to buy in stores, and your mom turns around and goes, "Hey, can you pick up the pace? Can you hustle a little bit? Let's pick up the pace. It's move."
Right.
Hustle isn't just doing something. It's doing it with speed. It's doing it efficiently. And so to your point, the reason why I do have the hustle and I do work with speed, I mean, even we were talking about before when I got here, you know, we're like, yeah, you could do it. You know, I was talking about doing an event and I'm like, part of me is like, just wants to do something right on the street that I live in because I just want to walk across the street and do it because I don't want to get in my car and drive to another place when there's all these restaurants because it's just it's an extra 20 minutes, shit, an extra hour out of my day. I got to go drive somewhere 30 minutes, get stuck in traffic, drive it 30 minutes back, whatever. And it's like that's an hour out of my day that I could be spending doing something to maximize the other crap that I have going on in my day. So I'm always looking for little ways to just make my day more efficient, pack more things in. And so, yeah, I mean, the way I get the – and then and all that comes from the fact that I don't want to be homeless again. I've been there once. I almost was there twice. And I just know that at one point in my life, I had the thing popped in my brain where I said, oh, man, I'm not stupid. Like, I grew up my whole life thinking I was dumb. Because
of teachers or?
Because I got bad grades. Because I got picked on. And because I didn't under – I didn't have – I had terrible reading comprehension. I didn't – and people treated me like I was dumb. And one day I realized, I go, oh, wait, I'm not dumb. I followed my parents' advice. I followed my boss's advice in business. And nothing ever just made sense. It never made sense to me. Like, why are we doing things this way? And I always would question stuff. It would never make sense. And so finally one day I said, you know what? Fuck this shit. Can I cuss on this? Yeah.
You can.
I don't know if this is okay. This is any different from the normal you and I just sitting around. Anyway, I said, "Fuck this shit. If I'm so smart, if my ideas are so good, why am I not doing it for myself?" And so I did. And so there's a part of me out there that's like trying to prove to everybody that I was right. Like I was like at 15 years old, I had an idea, and I'm now 39, and now I'm going to show you that idea that I had 20-something years ago was the right thing, and you were just too dumb as an adult to realize it. And the other part of it is, like, you know, I just realized that following everyone else's advice got me nowhere. And so I just know it's all up to me.
But I thought you didn't start drawing till recently.
I didn't, like 5 years ago.
But what was when you were 15? What was it?
Well, everything. Just the way things worked. So I didn't, like, people would just tell me, like, oh, no, you got to, I don't know, like, graduating high school. I still to this day think I should have dropped out of high school. I don't know, like, it didn't do me any good. Like, what could I have learned in high school that I couldn't have learned on my own?
Certainly, like, 10th to 12th. I think once you hit, like, 10th, you've probably got the basics of.
I mean, what, we're going to take a test on outer space? Cool. Hey, Siri, tell me about outer space. Like, Hey,
that is a good point.
Hey, here's how you do multiplication. Cool. Hey Siri, what's 1,021,642 times 17? Like, what do I need school for?
Well, I think there's a certain
school level. Has been replaced by Siri.
Google or Alexa or the internet or just Google in general. But
right,
yeah.
But there is a certain amount of critical thinking that I think you can practice in school. It doesn't mean you necessarily do, but I do think there's something there that you do need to learn either through your parents or friends or whatever.
I think in case
the Google machine doesn't work, in case Wi-Fi is out and you have to solve a problem.
I really don't believe that'll ever happen. That's like the guy that owns the car saying, like, hey, we're still going to need horses around. One day those cars aren't going to work so well. And the guy, okay, horse guy. No, they'll fix those cars pretty quick. No, I mean, I think high school crushed my critical thinking. Like, it's the reason I got bad grades. Like, high school is a factory worker situation. Like, we're going to line these desks in rows. You get your lunch in a row. You work and
what do you think is happening back there, by the way?
Man, something fucking cool.
Right?
I'm really like interested.
They type in a code. They go back in. They don't come out.
There's lots of alcohol back
there's
there.
There's just five dudes just crammed in like a closet or something. Just like trying to not work or something. What?
Circle jerk was the answer.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be right
back. I believe it.
Bring up the next guest.
So, what's a day like today like for you? Like, what did you do today before you got here?
Took a shower. Before that, I edited a bunch of video. My day today was actually very relaxing. I've been sleep because this my past. I'll go through my past like 12 days because that's way more interesting probably, and then I can get to today.
Okay,
which is. I did I had three commissions I had to paint, plus an art show painting, plus an Atlanta United guitar, which I did in 4 days. And then I had a day of podcasting on Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I painted three murals for Imagine Fest. Friday, I had a day of podcasting. Saturday, painted for Imagine Fest. Sunday, shot video for a podcast. And when I say shot video, I'm talking like a 12-hour podcast. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, did a mural for 3 days in the Highland Inn.
So that's probably like a typical time for you, though, right? Like, not
it's either
specific
painting
things.
Or podcasting,
right? So
for 12 hours, but
or video for you is also podcasting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You like go live, whatever. Now let me ask you, but do you ever look ahead and say, okay, I'm going to like just record podcasts the next 5 Mondays, or you just totally fucking wing it?
I have a full days booked out, so like I go, okay, today's a podcast day. Now whether that's I shoot like Sunday, we shot 8 podcast videos in a row. We just booked out 8 people an hour and just and then just like ran through them all in front of a pink backdrop, and then went home, and then I started working on booking out the next guests, and I just will do that for 12 or 15 hours a day. And then when I paint, like I was painting for Imagine Fest until 3 a.m. one day and 5 a.m. the other day. Like, and then getting home at 6 a.m, sleeping until 10 a.m, and then waking up and going back down and doing it all over again.
And so is the end goal for you to continue to do exactly those things but just make more money at them? Or is there an intermediate goal? Is there a 5-year goal?
I don't know. I mean, I do know my end goal is end goals is I'm gonna open up a store that's going to, I think, fuck up the entire way that artwork is done and consumed. And I don't care about telling people this because no one will understand this or want to do the amount of hard work that goes into it. But what I want to do is open up a retail store in the front with all of my artwork or my friend's artwork, whatever. In the middle of it's gonna be an art gallery. And then the back, I'll have like my workshop, podcasting studio, all that kind of stuff. But the gallery is the key component, because galleries make money off of artists, and that's not what I want to do. So I'm going to actually offer the artists the gallery section for free to artists to use and take $0. So what?
So how do you like? Is there just going to be like a waiting list? Like, how do you?
Yep. Sure. Or I'll pick the ones that I want. Some of them would be big artists. Some people will be the people that they get their first opportunities. But galleries take 40 or 50%. And so artists, they're making money off artists. So I'm actually going to use the artist as the advertising mechanism to get people to want to work with me instead of profiting off of them. So, and no gallery is doing this. Like, the product for an art gallery is the artist. For me, my product is always the art. Everything else is free.
So isn't that kind of what Casey does now? Neistat, isn't that his little world? Like, he makes stuff out of stuff, but he also...
I think he's more of a YouTube incubator. So he's basically going to pull in talent and then use that, and then basically he'll make money off of that YouTube talent that he develops.
Are you a fan of his, by the way?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you said... Yeah. So I'll brag on you a little bit.
Sure.
And I think this is great. This is great real-world application. So I'm not... Do you guys know who Casey Neistat is? Because I'm like sort of the last one to figure out who everybody is. Usually my kids will explain something to me or whatever. Or Dave here will explain to me what's like hip and culturally. And so I'm watching your story, and it's Casey Neistat who's get a gazillion views, and he's opening his mail, and it's a squishy puss that you made him. And he didn't just like open it, he then made a whole video out of it, which clearly he had to produce, edit, which I know he does in his sleep, but it's still pretty fucking cool. He drilled it, put it up, and there it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really super cool. And I said, how did that happen? And I just texted you and said, hey man, that was super cool. You're like, yeah, I mailed off 50 of them. He was the one guy that did it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great business lesson for, I don't know, everybody. I was going to say content creators, but kind of everybody.
I mean, I said I have an assistant now, and when I, you know, I've built an entire business on saying thank you. That's the way. I just got an email today. If I had it ready, I'd read it. But The people that put on Pow Wow Hawaii, they're like a big mural company or whatever. They do a bunch of murals all over the world, fly people out, do all that kind of stuff. I painted a painting for them for Heineken, which was one of the things I also forgot to mention. But anyway, and I sent a thank you gift, a package to them. And the guy got it and was like, holy shit, you're rad, blah, 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 blah. We've got one in each room. I said, how many people do you have in your family? He said, three. I sent them three pieces of artwork and stickers. My kid loves it, yada, yada, yada. I don't know how many people are doing things for people, like projects, and then saying thank you in return. Like, that just means a lot. And so I have my assistant come over, and one of her main jobs is, who are we going to say thank you to? And so we sent out, I always get her to send out, like, a handful of, like, things. Like, hey, let's send one to this person, that person. And one of them was Casey. Funny thing is probably one out of 10 people will actually post it to their Instagram or whatever, but Casey was one of those people. I have people that I send stuff to that have 20,000 Instagram followers, and I never even get a response like, thanks for the thing. Never. Casey's got 10 million YouTube followers, and he did a whole video, and that's why that guy's success keeps growing, because he knows, that's why he does those open mailbag days. He reads those messages, he gives those shout outs, because he just understands the power of, like, oh, you're doing something nice for you, let me do something nice, back. It's a back and forth, it's a ping pong. But, so now I'm starting a thing again. I used to do it last year called the Squishy Puss Top 10, where I just pick out 10 customers at random, and I just send them a thank you package. They didn't buy anything from me recently. I'm just sending something going, hey, this is new, this is my new product. Thank you for buying something 6 months ago. I appreciate you.
I now, whenever I watch your stories, other people are always tagging you because you're all over town. And, like, you're in places that I don't know if you were always there and I just drove by them, but now I see them everywhere.
Yeah.
So when I was as far east, which to me is the other side of the world, as the Waffle House Museum in Decatur, and you're further east of that, I was like, how the fuck did he get out here?
Yeah, I don't know. I just get asked to do things, or sometimes I don't, and I just do it anyway. But I mean,
but that's what I was going to ask you, is what percentage is you just kind of doing your thing and then people appreciate it and leave it up?
90% is people asking me.
Okay. Like, I'm guessing.
Back in the day, I just go out and just do it with the assumption that if they don't like it, they'll take it down. And if they like it, they'll just keep it up. And most people took it down. But it just grew that awareness over time. So now people are just constantly reaching out for everything. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what other option I have. Like, a lot of people have an ego where they're like, well, my artwork's good enough, so I'm just going to wait for people to come to me, and no one's going to come to them, and so they're just mad. And where I'm just
I think this is the gazillion dollar, again, for anybody, whether they're a content creator or a plumber or whatever, that whole, like, what is this going to get me, right? Like, you show up as, I'm going to give this to you for free because I know it'll one day pay it off. If it doesn't, I don't care. I just want to do it for free. But there is a line somewhere where you're like, where you would say no. If someone goes, hey, Ray, we don't have the funds to pay you, and we don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to get asked to do things that you say no to.
I don't remember the last thing I've said no to. I don't know. Very rarely. I mean, the thing is like, it has to come to benefit me somehow. Like, if someone says, okay, here's something I said no to. Someone, I put out a thing saying I'm going to be in San Diego in 3 weeks. I'm actually doing a podcast project for somebody else that they're flying me out there to do, which is
great.
Kind of fucking bananas. But anyway, so while I'm out there doing the podcast project, I said, well, I might as well paint some murals, and I don't want to get paid for it or anything like that. If I can just paint some murals while I'm here, I'm like, sure. So I put out a thing like, I'll be in San Diego. Does anyone have a business that want me to put a mural on? And I got a couple messages back where people go, you can paint something in my backyard. And I'm like, no. Because I'm like, no one's going to see that but you.
Right.
Like, if I'm going to go and spend $100 on paint, if I'm going to, work my ass off, it's not going to be for one person. Like, if I'm going to do something for free, I want maximum impact. That's the point. And I want it to be on my terms. So I want to do it, like, on a business where it gets traction, where everyone can see it. If somebody wants to pay me, it's a balance. But I said, I just said no to that. But I mean, that just seems greedy for someone to be like, oh, I want you to come work for free.
Did you counter like, hey man, are you connected to anybody at a park?
I said, yeah, I have very limited time to spend on doing something out there, and I would like for everyone to be able to enjoy something that I do for free. So, and they were like, that's cool. I was like, so if you know of a business, you can hook me up and I'll do it for free and you can see it there all the time. But I don't want to, yeah.
All right, one more question. So I've seen you collab a lot. I saw the lady who does the hot dogs and stuff. What's her name?
Gina Curlew.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I like got her stickers for my daughter, who perfect for her. So is there a brand or a person or a thing that you would definitely say no to, that you would not draw squishy puss like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know, like, I was going to say holding a cigarette, but that doesn't seem like that would be that.
Actually, that's where Newport Cigarettes is very, very interested in having me do a project with them. However,
don't you smoke Newports? Do you smoke Newports? John, Chris?
Oh, no. No, I do not.
What did I see up there earlier?
Pall Mall.
An equally shitty cigarette.
Yes, exactly.
Same thing.
Pall Mall?
Yeah. I don't know. They're all the
Why
same, really.
Why aren't you vaping?
I know, right? I should be.
Cigarettes are coming back.
I should be.
Just like the Wi-Fi and cars and horse and buggies. Pall Mall. Anyhow.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person.
You would not work with that.
Well, you can't use cartoons anymore, like a Joe Camel, like in cigarette ads.
Yeah, man.
They keep trying to figure out a way for us to work together, and I'm like, I won't do it. Like, I'm sorry. I did something for Heineken, but cigarettes just feel like I don't know, the line.
They're just gross.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't smoke and I don't drink. But for some reason, I go, okay, alcohol, fine. But cigarettes is kind of, I don't know, it's just weird. It feels weird to me. The question was, is there anything I wouldn't?
Right, yeah. Like, if somebody wants to draw, like you do these, like, squishy puss plus, what do you call those when they're?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, like, either literally, other than, like, maybe some kind of, like, weird drug use thing or some kind of, like, gay, like anti-gay or homophobic, like racist shit, like that shit's all off the table.
Right.
But like outside of that, I mean, I just did a thing recently where I was like, one of my friends was like, is so obsessive with her brand, with like, oh no, I'm she's so protective of it, that I said, well, I wonder what would happen if I made my artwork open source for anyone to use. So I just put out a thing. I said, hey, if you're an artist and you want access to my artwork, give me your email. I'll add you to a Dropbox. And I got like 50 artists in there, and they've just been making stuff out of my artwork and then putting it up places. And I'm like, it's open source artwork. Do what you want with it. I don't know. But like it's not costing me any work except for entering their email address in. But at the same time, maybe it does something for their customer, for their fan base. Or I don't know. But like, there's not a lot I'll say no to. I say yes to everything, because you don't know where it's gonna lead. You don't know who you're gonna meet. And I've found that the most impactful thing that you can do, in getting work, is to meet people. The more we operate in a digital age of like Instagram and Facebook and blah 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 blah, the more impactful and meaningful a handshake is. Meeting someone in real life has been the single biggest thing that has gotten me the most work. People see my artwork, but as soon as they meet me, they're like, dude, I see your artwork everywhere. Dude, you should do, like, that's how I got the Atlanta United guitar. Like, so they get somebody to paint a custom guitar. You walk out onto the field at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You hand the man of the match the guitar. You get a picture with them, and they pay you some money for that. It's pretty awesome. And you get tickets to the game and all that kind of bullshit. And the guy who gave me the gig said, I've seen your artwork everywhere. I followed you for years. We're all a big fan of your family. Would you ever like to do a guitar? And he never thought about emailing me. He never thought about hitting me on it. He met me in real life. And so my goal now is like, can I just shake everyone's hand in the entire world? I think if I can do that and show them that I'm a great person, hopefully, if they like the people that'll hate me, but people that do like me, if I can just be appreciative and say thank you and shake their hand, I think the business will just come.
Well, cool, man. Where should people find you online and in real life?
My address is 629 North. Now, Squishy Puss is everything. Yeah, that's everything.
Just Google Squishy Puss.
Just Squishy. Yeah, Squishy.
You're not. Puss. You're not the evil Senator Squishy Puss.
Yeah, no, that's me. I don't know what that.
Although I always have to double check though that I might spell it right. Like when I did the flyer for this.
Yeah.
The flyer. When I made the flyer for this event.
Yeah, it's with an IE and a PUSS. Squishy IE and then PUSS.
I don't know. I get thrown
off.
Yeah,
but I just everything. And then Hellions podcast.
What's the Hellions podcast?
What is it?
Yeah.
It's a podcast that highlights the person behind the creative project. So I talked to other podcasters. I talked to other artists. I had a midwife on, which is crazy. But I want to talk to – I want to expose people to the person behind the passion project, the work, the whatever. And it's a lot like the Atlanta podcast where we just sit around and bullshit and talk. But, yeah, so it's cool.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by, dude.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Squishy puss. All right, we're going to give away a bag of from the Georgia Hemp Co. You don't want to miss it, or you got to leave? All right, see you later, buddy. You want to tell everybody what's in this bag before we give it away?
CBD.
Tell everybody what's in the bag. Yeah, now he's singing around. You know what, Rob? I'm just going to give you this bag, Rob, actually. Rob, you just get the bag, goddammit. Rob's been a huge supporter of mine.
Yes.
He's a good man. And now we'll give... All right, so just what's it? What's in the gift bag, Joe?
That's a party bag right there.
All right, hang on. I'm gonna put you on the live thing. Not the live thing, but people are mentioning me in the story. Thanks. All right, this is what you're missing out on. Play some. Why don't you play some rockin' music, and we'll get a quick shout out, everybody, for the. What? Ready? All right, go. You guys gotta hoop it up, right? Ready? All right, now start hooping it up, everybody. That's horrible. Come on. This is the party you're missing. It's the goddamn Atlanta Podcast Live. What is that cheesy, horrible sound, by the way?
I don't know. What was that?
With the way you just played. Oh, did you play that?
Yes.
What is that? Do-do-do-do. That thing.
A little DJ sound effect. I don't know. I won't play it.
All right. So the only trivia question I came prepared with was, what was the first Atlanta podcast guest? I forgot to write down another trivia. So let me think of it a good one, and we'll give away another bag of CBD and coffee. So you got that combo going. I remember, like, you guys asked me, or what's his name, asked me who my favorite guest was, and I had the hardest time answering. Okay, who knows? Because I have said this a few times. Because I asked people their favorite Waffle House meal. Does anybody know my go-to Waffle House meal? I think I've said it a few times in the show. I think I have. It is not the All Star. Oh, it's the most frequently answer is in fact the All Star, but it is not the All Star. And I dare I say never order the All Star. My son does. Jackson will kill the All-Star. 9-year-old Jackson. Texas bacon cheesesteak milk. That's actually one of my favorite bowls. I'm gonna give you that. My current favorite bowl is the breakfast bowl, but you just earned a big bag of CDB stuff because the Texas cheesesteak is certainly something I've ordered before. Do you want to? Do you actually want to play? Because I have you scheduled in for a number. If you want to, you want to play a number?
Yeah,
all right.
Conversation between young lovers.
Count the strikes from your bed to mine, and watch out now, she said, don't make a sound. Move on. cotton sheets, oh, and velvet skin. Slow down now, the bed is squeaking, thought I heard a floorboard creaking overhead. Spilled my soul, and I drank yours too.
Woo!
Awesome.
That was awesome, dude.
As things would have it, my final guest for the evening messaged me that they weren't going to make it, which, you know, happens. And I'd like to call on a lucky member of the audience. Kate, since you drove the farthest, do you want to come up and sit for a few minutes since we've got a couple minutes here? You can say no. No is an acceptable answer. It doesn't matter. The podcast is, it's the famous Atlanta famous, infamous, or anybody else I find interesting. It's Kate Vontaine, everybody. Big hand for Kate. She drove all the way down. The least I could do is have her on the damn show. So,
Hello. So,
it's okay. Do you have anything mermaid related? Do you have anything underwater related?
Aquatic theme.
Do you know Yellow Submarine?
I live in a yellow submarine. A yellow submarine.
All right, that's good enough. All right, so. I totally put you on the spot. But like I said, we have a few minutes. You drove all the way down. Tell everybody who you are and this new show you just launched, and then I'll ask you a bunch of questions about it. Are you super nervous, by the way?
Yeah.
Totally. It's totally fine. We're all friends here.
Okay. Now we are.
except Ray, who insulted me. We're all friends.
But you can't be mad. He said you phoned it in, and then you're like, "Wow, I didn't prepare any questions." You can't
That's
be
it.
Mad.
She's on my side.
You can't be mad. Well,
I honestly listen, damn it. The fact that I did a little, that I actually did a little rundown before I came is huge for me, right?
Yeah.
Super professional and huge of me. And just in my mind, it was like, okay, add trivia later, and I just didn't add it. So anyhow,
it's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Kate. I just launched my podcast yesterday. With 10 episodes.
And look at this. You're already a guest on a live show.
I'm already on a live show.
Right?
I'm practically famous.
Right? So what's the show? What's the show called?
It's called the Save the World Podcast.
Great name.
It's really serious. We're really saving the world. We're not. It's not serious at all. It's mostly silly. But we're just like, I'm talking to people about how they advance in their life, in their business, like overcoming challenges, just working through life, really. Because I think healing yourself is how you heal the world, basically. That's what it comes down to.
So what made you, because there's obviously a lot of podcast sort of in that sort of like vein. What made you say like I heard you say that I listened to your first episode. It was very good. And you'd said to the woman that you had gone to a convention and that sort of inspired you to get off your ass and do it. Yes.
In terms of like making a podcast. Yes.
Yes. Because I searched you, there's an old podcast you did.
There is.
Right.
Okay, yes, there is. And that was when I had this blog and it was called Boss Lady Jobs. And I only interviewed women, and it was only about business.
Fuck that shit, man.
Well, it was like, I feel like that's one segment of what I'm interested in, but it's not enough to, like, talk about. I mean, you talk to someone for, like, an hour. Like, if you keep it that strict, there's really only so much you can talk about.
Right.
And it was also based, like, just in Charleston. So it was pretty narrow, and I just got a little bit bored with it, kind of. Like,
right.
I got sick of myself.
Right.
Like, how many times can I talk about same stuff.
Right. So what had you start this new one? What happened at this? You went to like VoiceCon?
Okay, so I went to VoiceCon.
Were you at VoiceCon, Jason?
Were
okay.
You?
Sorry.
Well, so that's what made me want to do the podcast, like put voice on the computer, put it on the internet, that kind of thing. But the stuff that we're actually talking about is like what I'm just interested in my normal life. Like the stuff we talked about, like Abraham Hicks, like starting a business, Gary Vee, like getting to know yourself. And that kind of thing. This is very scary. Just saying.
But this is good though, right?
Yeah,
scary's good, right?
It's scary, yeah.
Push past those things.
Normally I'm at home with my computer in my house and they're at their house with their computer. We're not this close, you know?
So, you know, what I liked about your show is that you were just genuinely curious, and I think those are what makes the best like hosts. So have you always been that way? Like, did you bug your mom because you asked a lot of questions like growing up?
I don't think. Well, that's probably I probably did, but I like I can get like really lost like in my head. Like I can zone out for a long time just thinking about something and like being curious in that way. But that's another reason I wanted to switch from that narrow focus podcast because I want to talk about stuff that I like really don't know about. Or, like, don't know if I believe in it or, like, am into it. Or, like one of them we talk about, like, ayahuasca. And it's, like, everyone's, like, so into it. But I'm, like, this doesn't sound right. This doesn't sound, like, spirit. I don't know. It sounds weird. So, like, that's what we talked about. But it's not, like, me being, like, oh, tell me why this is so great. This is me being, like, why did you do that? Like, why do you keep doing that? Why do you want to do that?
Right. And let's talk about what about mermaid stuff?
Mermaid stuff? Well, I love mermaids. I want to be a mermaid. So I started a mermaid business.
Wait, hang on. Did you watch the show I told you to watch?
Oh, no.
David, did you watch that episode about the mermaids?
Yeah.
It's really good. You should really watch it.
Okay, well, I forgot the name of the show. What's it called?
We just told you the name of the show. It's available on the what network? But is it also like on an app since it's already, I already DVR'd it? Like, is it on?
I don't have a television.
But let me do it this way. Nobody has a television.
I know, that's true, that's true. That's not a good excuse.
By the way, I have a friend, like, quick side note. I have a friend who works for Xfinity, and, like, we were getting in this whole argument about, like, why, like, he was telling me why people need Xfinity, and I was trying to explain to him why they didn't. And I'm like, you work there. Of course you think that. So if you think I'm bad. Anyhow, but here's the thing. You have a show about mermaids, which is not.
No, I don't have a show about mermaids.
You don't?
I thought it was going to. That's what, like. I was like, all right, I need to be in voice. My business is mermaids. Let's do mermaids.
Well, let me back up. You have an interest in mermaids, which is not like. Like, say, like Star Wars, or just a lot of people. So it's super.
Because that's normal. Is that what you're saying? Mermaids
super,
are not normal.
It's super, super rare. And I was like, you wouldn't believe it. There's a whole show about mermaids, but there's also some deeper lessons about racism. You should watch it. And you're like, whatever. I haven't seen it. And I'm like, fucking go watch it.
Okay. All right. I promise. I will find it. I need to write it down.
You are now responsible. You are now responsible for anything on True TV. He's not in that episode.
Oh, you're on the show.
Not in that episode. It's not a serial show. It's an episodic show.
I see.
Each episode is different, much like Law and Order.
Gotcha. I missed that. I was late. Sorry.
We're gonna talk about Law and Order in a minute too.
I drove 3 hours. Don't forget.
I know, and I appreciate it. That's why I brought you on the show because I'm really appreciative that you drove 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you weren't. Were you a safe haven for people? I think you were telling me you were gonna be like.
Yes.
You were a safe haven for people with all the winds.
Yeah, they evacuated from Charleston and then came to my house.
Was it a party?
So, kind of. They, okay, so I have internet, and we have like limited cell signal, but it's not like regular life where I live. Like I live in the woods, so they were not ready for that.